Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for real estate investors looking to protect their assets, save on taxes, and build their wealth with Clint Coons. Clint is an attorney, author, avid real estate investor, and featured instructor at Anderson's tax and asset protection events held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone. Hi, it's Clint Coons here with Anderson Business Advisors, and this is another edition of our Anderson Weekly Podcast. Now, in this episode, what I want to do is talk about another way to invest in real estate, something that I myself have never considered. And I know there's a lot of real estate investors out there that have never heard of this as well. And this is what really piqued my interest about it, is that the traditional way is to go out and find a house and then either go in, rehab that, and you turn it into a rental, or maybe you buy new construction now because the cap rates between existing versus new really doesn't make that big of a difference when you factor in your CapEx within the next 5 to 10 years for maintaining that property. So I've seen investors go that route when they're looking for single family homes because they want to build a rental portfolio. But what really hit me out of the blue is when I met our next guest, and he was talking to me about investing in real estate, single family homes, and he has a different take on it. And that take has to do with buying manufactured homes and doing the same strategy. And I never heard of it before, never thought about it. And then my idea of a mobile home, and that's how originally we discussed it, was those, you know, those trailers, those single trailers, flat roof, metal siding. They sit in a mobile home park. And I thought, who's going to want to buy that? That's a trailer. That's not real estate. Well, little did I know. And so I thought this episode, we're going to devote it to talking about manufactured home. And that is why it's my pleasure to introduce Glenn Stromberg of Stromberg Investment Group. He has over 30 years of experience in investing in manufactured and mobile homes. And today, what he is going to do is share with you the extreme profit potential that can be found when looking at this alternative type of real estate investment. Glenn, I got to tell you, thanks for coming on.
Clint, thanks for having me. I really, really appreciate it and looking forward to the interview.
Awesome. Now, I know people are listening right now and they're probably piqued their interest because, you know, when people think about this, I would assume take the same approach I do. You say mobile home, you're thinking metal side trailer in a park. I mean, how often do you get that?
I don't buy those.
No, I know. How often when you talk to people about this, is that the initial?
All the time. Yes, people. When you say the word mobile home, manufactured home, I actually, when I do presentations, I'll show a picture of a metal sided house like you talked about with tires on the roof. And 80% of the audience, I ask them, they think that's what a mobile home looks like. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it just because it just permeates our culture. That's what so many people are accustomed to living or to thinking about. Now, you just said something. You would never invest in that. Why not?
Because it's a whole nother asset class, right? I mean, a mobile home park can be a good investment if you've got the right property management, but the homes take a lot of work, a lot of maintenance. That's why it's a whole nother strategy, a whole nother asset class. What we do, just to give you an overview for your listeners, we're in 5 states. We're in Texas, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Virginia. And we buy 10 to 15 properties a month. And the homes are double wide, usually 1,200 to 2,400 square feet. And they're usually on a half an acre to an acre tract of land. And they are real estate. Depending on the state, they have a deed of trust or a mortgage on them. We usually buy 1990 and later because that was when they picked up the construction standards for them. And you know, I always tell this story because my dad was a mason contractor and a builder in Chicago, and he came and looked at about 15 of my properties in Texas, and he goes, these are built better than tract houses in Chicago. And I said, yeah, that's what people just don't understand that. And so I like to say it is the best kept secret in real estate investing because you buy the properties for probably a third to a half of the price, and in many cases, the cash flow is double of a single family house. So they can be cash cows and gold mines.
I think the first thing is that people, they should understand is that when you're talking about the old style mobile home where you got the tires you stated on the roof, that's really a trailer.
Correct.
This is not that. This is what we're talking about here are those homes, as we mentioned before we got started on the show, that you would see going down the freeway on the back of a trailer where it's a half a house and they're carting it somewhere. And then they bring another half a house and they put them together.
That is correct. And they normally go on concrete runners. They tie them into concrete and they qualify for a homeowner. They qualify for the same FHA financing as a single family house. So
this is really, it's a wood frame construction, correct?
A lot of them are wood frame construction. A lot of them are vinyl construction. A lot of times people put brick skirting around them on the bottom. And so there's varying kinds of siding.
So it's basically a house. And that's what I think where a lot of individuals, when they're considering this asset class, if they hear the word manufactured home, they think, well, that's an inferior quality because it was made in a factory and it was then carted out and dropped on a pad or on cinder block foundation. Therefore, it's not going to be the same quality if we just built it from the ground up.
Correct. I've been to factory several times, and boy, if any of your listeners ever had a chance to go see it, it's a fascinating thing to see them be built. But they basically use the same materials as a site-built house. It's OSB or plywood flooring, 2x4s, 2x6s, upgrade insulation packages, thermal pane windows, granite countertops. And I mean, you can get any amenity, fireplaces. And the beauty of it is, because they're built in a factory, they come out at a better price and they're a lot less money. You get a lot more square footage for the dollar, whether you buy it or, in our case, we lease them out to tenants and they get a lot more square footage for a tenant. So
the whole thing about homes, and for many people that if they've never experienced this, is that I guess the reason why you call that a mobile home, you're referring to as mobile home, or some people call it manufactured home. Mobile is because you can move it. Reality is every home is a mobile home. Because when I grew up, we would buy houses for, when I say we, my father would pick up a house for a dollar. And then my brother and I would assist him. We would go in there, we would disconnect all the utilities, jack the house up, bring in a trailer, and then load it up on a trailer, pick that house up and move it and put it on a new piece of property that we purchased right onto a cinder block foundation. That's a mobile home right there if somebody looked at it, because the house itself was built from the ground up, but now we just made it mobile because you could cart it. So really any house could meet that definition if you're saying the house is movable.
That's correct.
So what intrigues me about this is talking about these homes as a cost. So let's assume that I'm looking in my area. You talked about the five states you're in. And for example, I live in Oregon and I'm looking on the MLS or for these properties. How typically are they going to be listed on the MLS? Will they be listed as a manufactured home? Will they be listed as a mobile home?
Every MLS district is different, but no, they will have the classification mobile/manufactured. And because they're on MLS, there's real estate involved, right? The land is with it. So the title's been surrendered. So they're on MLS. And, you know, in the Carolinas and Georgia, that's the beauty of what we do. We can still buy most of them on the MLS because we don't have the competition that all the single family home guys have. And, you know, I'm in two real estate mastermind groups that some of the best real estate guys across the country are in. And there's a lot of guys spending $50,000 a month on postcards trying to generate traffic right now. Margins are being squeezed and that hasn't affected us at all. We just have a way easier time finding the properties and because once again, we don't have the competition that all the other guys do.
When you say the competition, are you saying that most people are not considering manufactured/mobile home, that if they see that designation, they're going to skip past it because they view it as inferior?
They absolutely do because of what you said in the beginning. Most people think of that metal-sided house with the flat roof. They have no idea how nice they are, the value. They do appreciate over time. A personal property mobile home will depreciate. If it's just the mobile home, it's going to depreciate. But when it's on land, the properties we bought in Texas in 2012 have more than doubled since 2000.
Wow.
And because, I mean, obviously the Dallas-Fort Worth area is a very fast-growing market, but they go up and down with the single-family house business. And so you buy them for a whole lot less. Like in our case, we buy them, we fix them up like new. We put new carpet, new paint, new appliances, new air conditioner, new everything in it. We property manage it. We put tenants in it, and then we keep about a third of them for ourselves, and we turnkey the other two thirds to our investors. And we use all private money. We because of our returns are much better than the single family home. We have investors lined up for these things, and we really create great win-win deals for them and for us. So it's a really untapped market.
So when you go into remodel a manufactured home, is there anything I would say that you'd have to know that you're going to run into inside of one of these manufactured homes where it's a little more janky than just a standard?
No, honestly, Clint, it's so much easier. It's not even funny. We never have to pull permits. We're not in the cities. We're normally in the outlying areas. It's lipstick. It's carpet paint. We're not tearing down walls. We're not remodeling. We're not, you know, we don't have to do all the stuff you know that a lot of guys who buy the older homes do, because the floor plans are good. They come out of a factory. They have an engineer, an architect that put the all the floor plans are good. That's one of the advantages of them. And we're usually in and out of them in 2 to 3 weeks. We're normally up and running after 2 to 3 weeks. We got the thing fully rehabbed, and then we're looking for the tenant to put in at that time.
this is what came to mind right away when you talked about how they're made. Well, when I buy a television or something, I get an instruction manual that tells me about all different ports that are on the TV, what they're going to do. But these homes, do you get an instruction manual that tells you where everything's located that you would just go through and say, all right, if I got to move a hot water line, I'd go right to this spot and this is where I'm going to find it in this wall at this location. Do they do that?
No. And keep in mind, we're not moving anything, right? We're buying the home. It's already on the land, right? We're not moving anything.
No, I understand that. But I'm just saying, let's say I decide to invest in this and I buy this manufactured home and I say, you know what? I want to change the bathroom here. I want the footprint on it.
You could do that. I mean, it would be the same as if you did it in a site-built house. You could go through the exact same process. Now, we never do that. We just go ahead and we fix it up. Like I say, new carpet, new paint, new linoleum, the skirting, if it needs a new roof, we just do all that stuff. And like I say, I hear stories of people, it takes 6 months to a year to get a house rehabbed for some guys. And we normally get it done with, 2 to 3 weeks. So I like that we're able to move really fast on ours. And, like I say, we normally have a tenant in the house up and cash flowing within 60 days.
Yeah. And that's going to be dependent upon the condition of the property, because you can have a tenant or someone that moves into a house that was manufactured 8 years ago and they could literally destroy that property.
Well, really?
They get behind. Yeah.
Yeah. But when you say destroy it, the best deals we ever buy are the ones that are the roughest. But we still can be in and out of the houses in no time, because it just, like I say, there could be some flooring work, some stuff if they really did mess it up. But we're doing primarily lipstick. That's what we're doing. There's no heavy lifting on these houses. It's usually pretty simple.
Within structural integrity then, so it's, as you stated, to nail this point down, it's the same as a stick-built house from the ground up, that if I wanted to go in and let's say the floors, I wanted to pull out the carpets and I wanted to harden the whole property, put in tile, put in something, quartz or something on the countertops as well, no problem to do that.
No problem whatsoever. No, a lot of times, depending on the situation, sometimes we'll do some of that stuff, yes.
All right, so then let's talk price. So we're thinking of a manufactured home. I mean, typically, how much of a discount can they expect when they're buying a manufactured home versus a traditional as-built?
Well, that's the beauty of it. Okay, so I'll use the Dallas-Fort Worth area as an example. Okay, mm-hmm. We're going to be in one of our properties, all in, I say, and all in means acquisition cost plus rehab. It doesn't matter which is which, right? But we're going to be in it somewhere between $80,000 and $90,000, okay? And that house is probably going to rent for somewhere between $1,200 and $1,400 a month. A site-built home that size in this area is probably going to start somewhere in the neighborhood of $250 to $275. So it's a tremendous discount. Like I say, a lot of times it's a third to a half of the price, depending on the area, the state. And like I say, the rents return way better money. Or even if you fix and flip it, you've got bigger spreads in these houses than a lot of the single-family houses.
So these homes, when it comes to finding a tenant, do you have to advertise it as a manufactured home when you're leasing it, or do you just say house for rent?
No, not at all. And in matter of fact, I'll tell you what really happens in a lot of cases. And once again, I'll use the Dallas-Fort Worth area as an example. Instead of a zero lot line house and paying, let's take a 2,000 square foot manufactured home. We're going to rent that thing probably for somewhere between $1,200 to $1,400. The site-built house would be probably $2,000 a month. Plus, we're giving them an acre tract of land where the site-built house may have no place, and usually in a better school district, too. So in a lot of cases, we have people that prefer our houses versus the site-built houses.
Because of the location and the nature of the property that come with
them. The room to play, the yard for the kids to play in, all of the above. More square footage for the dollar, better bang for their dollar.
What's driving the increase and rent for the site built versus the manufactured? Because if all things are the same, if you're looking at a 2,400 square foot home, why could you demand more for the site built home?
People pay more for them. I mean, I think there is with a lot of people that there's a certain amount of people that, yes, they want to live in a site built house, not a manufactured home, right? So there always is a spread. But when you look at the numbers proportionately, like I say, $80,000 to $90,000 for so let's say $1,400 a month rent versus $250 to $275, for $2,000 a month rent. Well, which one cash flows better? Obviously, that's a, you know, it's a no-brainer. And here's the one thing that, just like you are, I'm part of the Think Realty Group as a resident expert. And we went to Washington last year for the, you know, with the group.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the, you know, the Congress people know there's an affordability crisis in America. There's a lot of places people cannot afford to buy homes. And so, and actually Ben Carson is a big advocate for manufactured homes. And you know, the, you can Google it. He's talking about they're not for trailer parks anymore. And they're trying to get the municipalities to ease up on the zoning to get more of them in because they're starting to recognize it's needed and how nice they are. So it's getting legs in Washington too.
So when you talk about zoning for these properties, let's say I own a piece of land right now. Yeah. I have a half acre lot. If I had all the utilities there, is it going to, what would it take to buy a new one? Or maybe I find an existing one. I want to pick it up and move it. Do you run into different challenges with permitting this type of property versus a traditional?
Now, if you're in the city, if you're in the city of Dallas, you can't do it.
Why is that?
They just don't let you. You know, that's just how they have the zoning requirements. Like, we buy properties usually about 30 miles outside of downtown Dallas and downtown Fort Worth. That's where the properties are. They start in the suburbs where, like I say, nicer school districts and the county, it's in the county. That's where most of them are. Now, if you go to North and South Carolina, you'll see manufactured homes next to brick houses. The zoning's a lot more lax there because North and South Carolina, almost one out of five families live in a manufactured home. It's like 18-19%. So it's a lot more common there.
So the county then is drawing a distinction on the home itself. If they, if it's classified as a manufactured home, then they may have zoning that prevents the placement of that type of property within the county or the city.
I mean, the county, it's the cities. Yeah, it's the
city. The city.
Yeah, it's the cities normally that will you know, they'll have their, you know, the certain subdivisions are just for, you know, for single family homes. And then, you know, like I say, they're in the outskirts of the cities is where the manufactured home subdivisions are and where, and the beauty of it is, once again, there's just, there's not permits, there's not counties, you know, there's not all the stuff you deal with when you're dealing with single family homes.
Well, what you just said is you're buying in a actual manufactured home community. So when you come into that community, there are going to be a lot of homes in there that looks similar to yours or
same as a single family house community. Uh-huh. They're on 1-2 acre tracts of land. And yeah, a lot of them are really, really nice. And you know, there's a bunch of different styles, bunch of different looks. And so they look good.
Well, so if I had a piece of property then, and I wanted to put one of these homes on my existing lot, so I'm not thinking of buying in an existing community. I just realized, hey, why go through the process right now? Because trying to get a contractor, number one, is difficult. Trying to get a quality contractor in this market is almost impossible unless you know someone who knows someone that can give you that connection. So what does one of these things cost brand new, right out of the factory?
I mean, it depends on the square footage. I would say, you know, I mean, and manufactured homes are just like cars, right? There's a low end, medium end, and a high end. You got to keep that in mind. But you can probably, you know, they're going to start probably somewhere at $60,000-$70,000 new, and then, you know, go to maybe $100,000, $120,000. That's probably where the range is for most of them. If you buy new. Now, when we buy them, when we're buying the existing used ones, we're buying the land and the home normally, like in the Carolinas, we're buying those for usually $45,000-$50,000 is the all-in price. So in Texas, there's a difference between Texas and the Carolinas and Georgia. In Texas, the land is a lot more too. So, you know, if land is worth $40,000-$50,000 for a one that's ready with all the utilities, say the home's $100,000, where it's more in Texas than it is in the Carolinas and Georgia, so to speak. But it's substantially less than a single family home, no matter what you do. It's substantially less.
To me, that would be an interesting play, is that if you find lots, rather than build your own property, consider putting a manufactured home on there if you intend to treat it as a rental, and you're definitely going to save money and your cap rate's going to go up because it's not going to be as expensive. How about financing these things? Any problem with that?
Well, like I say, we use all private money. We're using all private money. No, we have lending sources for our investors, and so no, it's not the traditional Fannie and Freddie that you know you get on a single family house. But no, there's lenders out there that do it, and most of our investors pay cash for them. They just pay cash for them. The cash flow is so good, they pay cash for them, and they're happy doing that.
If somebody wanted to finance it, am I hearing you correct that does this not fall within Freddie Fannie guidelines?
Freddie and Fannie, no, it's other lenders. It's like the tier three lenders. But there's people out there that do it. Absolutely.
You mentioned five states. Why did you choose those five states?
Because that's where the homes are, right? Like, okay, so, and we've got a bunch more too. We're going to continue to grow. We know that Florida is a great state. Alabama is a great state. Louisiana is, Arkansas is, Oklahoma is. It's more the southern states than the northern states. The northern states were more, there's more mobile home parks up that way. That's really what's up north for the most part. Now, there's parts in California up in the West Coast too, Arizona and Las Vegas, and there's pockets that do what we do too. So we just go where the houses are. That's what we do.
Okay, because you found that, yeah, that's a predominantly, it's a better area. So the appreciation on them, you're talking about the Dallas market, going back to that, you said that it almost doubled. So I would imagine that it's not going to appreciate quite as fast as a site-built home.
No, they actually do. Really? Percentage-wise, they go up and down about the same percentages as the site-built homes in those areas. Yeah, because the affordability factor, and, you know, using the Dallas-Fort Worth area as an example, right, what I said earlier, the single-family home was maybe 100 and a quarter, you know, back in 2012. And so it's the same thing. It's doubled just like our houses have doubled. It's pretty proportionate how they appreciate over time.
I get into this property and it's producing great cash flow for me, and I decide that I want to sell this property in 10 years. What challenges will I face then trying to sell it? Because just as you stated earlier, you know, they sit on the MLS. People are looking past them. Is it because of the way they look at it, but B, because of financing?
No, not at all. Because if you're selling it to an individual who's going to live in the house, we can get FHA financing on it. The same FHA is this. That's not available for investors. But if you're looking to sell it, you do the exact same thing as if you sell a single family.
Okay. Yeah. See, that's what I was missing. When I asked you about the FHA, I was wondering, could you obtain financing?
For someone who's living an owner-occupied.
Yep. Uh-huh. Owner-occupied. Yeah.
With the same FHA financing as you do in a single family house. Same one.
Perfect. All right. Well, that makes a lot of sense. So you've been doing this for a while and you find these homes, you source these properties for individuals, but you also train people on how to do it. When looking at your website, you got a great training package. Can you tell me a little bit about what that consists of?
Yeah, it's a 7-hour online course that kind of gives you the A to Z of what we do. You know, I just felt like I feel a real mission. Like I said, I really do believe this is the best kept secret in real estate investing. And I really want to help people to, I believe in the abundance mentality, right? There's plenty for us. There's plenty for other people. And so, yeah, we've got an online course that I think it's priced very, very well at $1,497. And it gives you kind of the A to Z of, and it's not just theory. It's what my company does every day. That's what it's designed to show somebody how to do it. And there's just, to me, it's such a no brainer for people because you want to go where other people aren't. And you know, you always hear I've heard the phrase all my life, there's riches and niches, right? I have found out that is very, very true. And so, yeah, I think our goal was to help a lot of people to help do what, you know, help them learn and do what we do. So.
At the end of the day, I mean, we're building our portfolios. We want to create cash flow. So what would you say is the typical cap rate on a property like this?
Well, when we buy a home, okay, when we're buying a home, fixing it up and renting it out for let's say a $50,000 investment, and that's with leverage on it, we're paying a note and an owner finance deal, we're making $400-$500 a month on the property. So honestly, I don't really figure it by cap rate, but it's good. It's really, really good. Like I said, it's substantially, there's way more cash flow in these than are in single family homes.
Well, I just heard you say owner finance. So a lot of these, you're approaching the sellers and they're carrying the note.
I'm sorry, I didn't say that right. I'm bringing in lenders, someone who's financing the property for me. They're financing the $50,000 and I'm paying them an interest rate. So that way I can rinse and repeat and do it over and over again.
What is the average price then in some of the, outside of the Dallas market? Let's say they're working with you.
Like I say, in the Carolinas, our all-in price is normally $40,000 to $50,000. That's the typical all-in price.
And you're making $400 and you're leveraged at what percent? 80% leverage on that deal?
We're actually leveraged at 100%. Our investors will leverage the whole thing. And we teach people how to do that too, because it puts their money to work. I mean, we're buying the house. Well, let me say this. We're buying it at 50, right? Okay, so let's just say our all-in cost is 50. But no, that home is probably worth 70, 75, 80,000, in some cases $100,000. So they've got plenty of spread in there, but our investor is financing the whole $50,000.
Got it. So you're getting in at that price, which then you have the built-in equity. So you meet any, if you're working with a traditional lender, you're going to meet all their lending guidelines.
Absolutely.
Is what they're going to want to see in it.
Yes.
Wow, that is a big spread that's available inside of those properties.
Absolutely. And, you know, and the nice thing is, see, we teach people, this is how we get a lot of our properties. We call real estate, you know, we're active in REIT groups, right? And we just say, mm-hmm. those throwaway mobile home leads, send them, you know, just send them to us. You don't do nothing. When we convert it, we'll pay you $1,000. And we probably get three deals a month doing it that way too.
And so do you always, I mean, you keep saying mobile home. Is that the best way to refer to this product, or is it manufactured home?
Honestly, Clint, the terms are synonymous, okay? The manufactured yep. home is the current phrase for it, okay? You know, people, once again, we talked about that in our, you know, the mm-hmm. whatever, but that's what they call them today, but technically they mean the exact, I mean, they're the same thing, right? But the manufactured homes are, like what we talked about earlier, that's how people picture the double wides, the bigger, nicer, whatever. So once again, the terms are the same, but the terminology in the industry right now, they call it manufactured home versus mobile.
All right. So again, if people want to learn more, they need to go to your website, correct, to get this training. I mean, 7 hours for $14.97 to learn how to go out and put these deals together, how to work with your REAs, how to find them. I don't know. I mean, that's a great investment for that type of return.
It is. We try to make it very affordable and very, you know, once again, we're not looking at this as a big money maker. I know it sounds corny, but we really want to help people. We really, really do. I've always believed what comes around goes around. And we've had a lot of people purchase them, and we've had a tremendous response from it. People have loved it. So
it's not some time limited thing either, where I have to watch it in 8 hours and I have seven hours of content.
You do it at your pace. You do it at your pace. It's you know, if you want to buy it, unfortunately, I think there are people that buy and do nothing.
I know.
Which makes no sense to me, but I think it's happened. But no, it's all your pace. So
great. Well, I've got a link in the show notes for those individuals who want to check out your website and check out the training. But anything else that you'd like to their audience to know about manufactured homes and what you do?
Like I say, we have another opportunity for investors. If there's anybody else there that wants to invest, you know, they can feel free to contact my email or call me direct either way. I mean, so we got opportunities there. But yeah, I just think this is it's something to where if your people are in areas where these things are, it's a no-brainer in my opinion. They can, if they learn how to do this, they'll make really good money at it. It's not hard.
Yeah, it definitely piqued my interest, and I'm now reconsidering what I'm looking for as well. So, Glenn, thanks for coming on today. This has been very informative, and I know people are going to get a lot of information out of here, and it's going to help them with their investing going forwards. I hope to get you back on the show later on this year as well. We'll talk about how your investment's doing in these different states, and we'll see how much success our clients are having as well.
Sounds great, Glenn. Once again, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Glenn. Take care.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast, and if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.